T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Among other things we're doing today is we are doing a draft, the all-time draft of television characters. As you know, I'm friends with David Bean Cooley, very esteemed television critic. I mean, the guy's been doing it since the beginning. He's got a book out now, The Platinum Age of Television, where he argues that television today is better than it's ever been.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with that.
There you go.
Think about it. It's taken over movies.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely has. I rarely go out to the movies now. I find a show, my wife and I will binge watch it for a week or two, done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is great, and he's been covering it since forever, so he's the judge. He's going to judge this.
You knew me when I was starting here.
Yeah.
And I didn't work a lot, whatever, but I think everyone has to go through this. You go through the grind where you're really trying to make your bones and all that stuff, cut your teeth. I didn't watch TV for like 10 years. And then Netflix, I have caught up on so much TV that I miss. Parks and Rec, I watch 30 Rock, I watch a lot of stuff like that. The Office, a lot of stuff. Just 10 years of my life that I just didn't watch TV.
You know the decision I have to make in the next week or so?
Uh-oh.
I have never watched, well, I shouldn't say never. I never followed Game of Thrones. I've seen...
Tonight, baby.
I know. And it's the biggest thing, and I get it, and I respect it, and I've been that way with other shows. Wait, here it is. It's great.
Yeah.
It eluded me all those years, mostly because my wife didn't have interest in it. Yeah, it's like I watch so much sports that we just generally watch TV together. It's a huge investment, right? There's been, 60, 70 episodes?
Yeah, something like that, whatever it's been. 7 seasons.
I'm trying to gird up to make myself do this and start.
It's such. I don't like period pieces, but this is just awesome.
No, I know. I respect it, and it's a terrible hole in my game. All right, let's get 2 quick picks by Steve McFadden. Then I want to toss out this Sixers thing, and we'll get the callers back involved. Steve, you get back-to-backs here, buddy.
So I'm going to start off with Stringer Bell from The Wire.
Mm.
My personal favorite. Mm-hmm. I really like Stringer Bell.
Good show, wrong character.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Mm. And since you plugged it, I'm going to go with Game of Thrones. Tyrion Lannister. And I'm going to give you a quick clip, since you have never seen the show.
How do you know this?
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
It's a great character.
That's, what's his name, the actor?
Peter Dinklage.
Thank you, Dinklage. Yes.
Yeah. He is a great actor. I've seen him in other things. Mm-hmm.
He's great elf.
I've seen him in, what's the station manager, something like that.
Okay.
Where he plays a guy who runs a little train station. I shouldn't say a little train station.
Come on, Glenn. Jeez, man.
All right, it's your pick.
Take the low-hanging fruit. No, it's caller's pick.
No, the caller's pick. The caller's got an extra pick. They trade it up.
Yeah, I'll make that note right now. All right, you're not messing with this guy. Frank Underwood.
Oh!
Bang!
Oh,
I took one!
I get stepped on again.
Sorry, bro. That's the game. That's what Frank Underwood would do.
He's right there. Okay, I get 2 here, correct?
Yeah, this is the snake draft, so yes.
All right, I'm going Ed Norton.
Classic.
Right?
Honeymooners.
And I'm going to get major points for this one.
All right.
I'm going the Fonz.
Gah!
Do we like the Fonz? Gah!
How could you not like the Fonz?
Do we respect the Fonz?
How do you not respect the Fonz?
There you go. All right.
And I will say this, it's still fairly the early rounds, considering we have a little bit more.
He was the first pick of the 5th round.
You have not jumped the shark with that one.
Ah.
See what I did there?
Very good. All right, before we get back to the draft and we get to their caller, Stephen Allen, Chris, what did the Sixers do this week, and why should I be upset about this?
The Sixers did something called the Club 76, I believe is the proper title of this, and it's a 3-tier season ticket waiting list plan. And the first one is just regular old Club 76 where you can sign up for nothing and that's it. And you just get information. You're signing up for emails essentially with that thing you're not paying for. Then you go up to the priority level, I believe it is. And then the priority level gets you for $76. So you spend $76 and you get, I think, 2 t-shirts. you get better access to the waiting list or a higher spot on the waiting list than the regular Club 76 people. And then there, I think there's the Elite is the third, is the highest you can go for $176. And for that, you get everything that the Priority Club gets.
Oh, I get my T-shirts?
Exactly.
Whoop-de-damn-do.
You get T-shirts, hats, I believe car magnets. Come on now. Car magnets. And you get, obviously, the best spot on the waiting list to be a person
so
waiting for the tickets.
So you're paying money
to wait.
To wait.
Yes.
But you're paying money to wait closer to the front of the line.
Correct.
Oh, God, I hate that.
It's despicable is what it is. Now, in fairness, because I want to give the Sixers fairness here. Oh, here's the thing. The $76 and the $176, according to the team's website, is non-transferable. So you can't say, okay, well, I'm not getting season tickets, but can I put that money towards some game tickets, just regular season game tickets, whatever. No, you can't.
Here's what's galling about this. As you know, I was never a supporter of the process, and they may be good. They have the opportunity to be good. Mm-hmm. I just was always against the morality of the thing, of tanking four seasons. Or just as a sports fan, I couldn't abide by it. But I really do respect the people who've hung with this team through so many bad years, and now, like, finally we'll get to see, they hope, the team be good, right? Mm-hmm. There's really the possibility the team could be good. And these poor schmoes who've just kind of suffered through this thing finally may get it, and the team says, oh, good, now we can gouge you.
Yeah.
They didn't give them a break when things were bad.
No, not at all. And here's the other part, Glenn. How quick did they sell out after they traded up to get the number one overall pick and take Markelle Fultz? What, they sold 14,000 season tickets?
Yeah, I don't believe the integrity of the number, but yeah, they sold a ton.
But that's the number they're putting out there.
Yeah.
So that's what they want us to believe about the fan base here. This extremely loyal fan base that hung in here throughout that dreck for 3 years, and then last year we finally see some flash. And now, obviously, you have the first overall pick again and Markelle Fultz. You're going to see Ben Simmons finally. So at the first hint, the first showing of, oh my God, we could be good again, they gouged the fan base for even more money. The fan base that paid them for those 14,000 tickets, whatever you want to call it, 14,000 tickets, they're saying, okay, great, let's try to get more money out of you. Now, here's what I did. I did a little detective work here. I did a little Frank Colombo.
Yeah.
Called some
good first-round pick.
Called some of the teams from around the NBA, and I just asked them if they had a waiting list, and they said either no or you had a flat rate to join the list. So, in other words, I called the New York Knicks. And the Knicks have
a more despicable franchise does not exist.
Correct. They charge $250 to be on the waiting list. However, let's say that you're on the list for a year or two. You pay that one time, pay that $250 one time, and let's say that, hey, they offer you season tickets and you don't take them.
Uh-huh.
You stay in the pool, and then you can either go, all right, well, I want tickets or I don't. You know what? I'm just going to get off the list. Can I put that $250 towards tickets for a single game or something like that? And they go, absolutely. So it basically becomes a credit where the Sixers does not. And look,
New
York
doesn't apply to
correct. So New York at least.
I was going to say, I don't like what they do in New York. I think it's pretty awful, but this is even worse.
Well, and it's all, I mean, let's say, I mean, New York is what, a city of 10 million people? So I get if they have some sort of waiting list and they charge somewhat. But I like the idea that it's at least a credit.
God, they just love to. Pro sports just can take advantage of you.
Oh, yeah.
And kick you in the nuts.
I called the Bulls, and the Bulls were the most helpful. They don't charge at all for a waiting list, a city that has a million more people plus than Philadelphia. And they just have it in full NFL mode, full Eagles mode, which is just you call or you write in, you get on the list, and then you just sit there and wait. There's no like money to bump you up on the list or anything like that.
How do people who... I hated their whole business model over the last 5 years. I hated.
Uh-huh.
I continue to hate this. People who love it, support it. I'm a process guy. I'm in. I love the Sixers. Are they upset about it, or are they just like, yeah, sure, they can do this to me because that's what they do?
So I went out and talked to the people.
You're the best.
Did a Farsi in the field on this, and most people were upset with it. Some people got it. Some people were like, oh, well, you got to make money somehow. So, and I'm like, they just sold 14.
Make money somehow.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It's the NBA. They're doing fine.
And the money they make is not on tickets. The money they make enough on TV,
yes,
on licensing, on everything else.
Exactly.
Despicable.
But most people were in the school of you and I, which is, this is absolute disgrace. And I really do hate when the fans are taken advantage of. And a lot of times we make ourselves, I don't know, available to be taken advantage of because we're fans.
We're at it.
Exactly. But this is just despicable to me.
It is despicable.
And, oh, and I did talk to a guy who worked for the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, oh, well, every team in the NBA does this. And this was after I made calls around the league. And yeah. I go, no, they absolutely do not.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I know the Warriors do it. And I go, oh, the two-time NBA champion of recent years.
It's terrible.
It is.
All right, let's get some picks in here because I want to get a call in here. So it's you, and then I get two. Tell me where we are.
Yes, we are at me.
Okay.
So,
and then I want to get some calls in.
You had taken Fonzie. I had taken, in the previous round, Frank Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
So in this round, I'm going to give a shout-out to my childhood. Do you know anyone that can stop the clock just by saying timeout? That'd be Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell. I'm typing it in right there. Zach Morris, the greatest show of my childhood, is my six-round pick.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Saved by the Bell?
No. I've never seen it once in my life.
You've never seen Saved by the Bell?
No.
It's one of the greatest shows in history.
Okay. All right. it seems completely off the board to me.
It is off the board.
That's fine.
Think outside the box if you want to build champions.
I don't know that box.
Timeout.
All right, I'm going with my six-round pick. I'm taking Vic Mackey.
I think it's the caller's pick.
It is?
You went Fonzie.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the caller's. Well, hopefully they don't take my same guy.
We'll dump that.
Don't have to dump it. If Steve, that's who he wants, that's who he's got. Steve, I'm sorry. You're up. You're on 94 WIP. How are you?
I'm fine. I have three things. First is a question I don't know if you guys can answer. It's probably more for Ray Dinger. But when I was a kid growing up, the kicking game was called the bomb squad.
Yeah.
And now it's called special teams, and I'm just wondering when they changed.
Well, it was the suicide squad after it was the bomb squad. You remember when it was the suicide squad, right?
Yeah, I'm that old.
Yeah. Well, no, it was first the bomb squad, then the suicide squad, then it kind of, I think they wanted to give it a little bit more respect, and so they kind of took that out.
All right. Now, I have two things about characters. One is mine, and one is a correction by one of you.
Uh-oh.
Lieutenant Columbo had no first name.
Correct.
Never had one in the entire duration of the show.
Oh,
he was simply Lieutenant.
Lieutenant Columbo? Oh, I could have sworn it was Frank, but okay.
And my character is Mr. Spock.
Oh, Mr. Spock is good. That's a wise pick.
I've never in my life seen anything with Star Trek.
Okay, well, I am not. Thank you, Steve. I am not a Star Trek fan. I've never been a Star Trek fan. But Mr. Spock has kind of lived on forever.
You know who he is.
You know you can do the thing with your hand. You know the pointed ears, the haircut. I mean,
yes,
that's an iconic character. You got to give him points for iconic.
I absolutely do.
Okay, so whose pick is it?
It's now Steve's.
Okay. Steve gets his back-to-backs.
So I'm going to start with Michael Scott.
That's what she said.
I like it.
And then I guess I'll go with, I'll take a woman here. I'm going to take Arya Stark from Game of Thrones.
Wow, you got a whole theme going
there.
Yeah,
you got the Game of Thrones going big time.
I need the comic relief in there with the Michael Scott and the Tyrion Lannister.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be a tough squad.
No, that's good.
That's fine. All right. 888-729-9494. I apologize. We've been keeping callers hanging. I see that we lost a bunch. Chris is up next, and then you can be after him. Give us your favorite character in the history of TV as we do the all-time TV character draft. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. Might want to start thinking about taking some women there, young man. I think we got to get some ladies on the board.
Yeah, they'll be there. I got you.
Mark Farzetta is in for Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack. Now it's 94 WIP. 888-729-9494. Mark Farzetta is in for Ray. I'm Glenn Mack now. It is the all-time TV character draft. Why don't we just review who's been picked so far so that the callers get a sense of it.
Okay. Trying to keep a running list here.
All right.
So
who have you taken?
You want me to go teams here?
Yeah, your team.
All right. My team of dominance is Frank Columbo. And you really don't need anybody after that.
Who, by the way, you've determined his name really is Frank, although they never said it on the show.
They never said it. So I was right. So it is Frank Columbo. Now, the trick is they never said it on the show, but whenever he would flash his lieutenant ID, it would always say Frank Columbo. So that's how people know his name is Frank. So Frank Colombo, Ron Swanson, Coach Pattuso, Pantuzzo, Frank Underwood, Zach Morris, Jon Snow. Glenn Mack now?
That's a bad team.
Phenomenal team.
My team is Walter White, Homer Simpson, Mary Richards, Ed Norton, and Fonzie.
Mm.
That's a good team.
Mm.
Steve McFadden, what's your squad?
Mike, someone needs to turn your mic on.
Producer should do that.
He's a producer.
Exactly.
So I have Tony Soprano.
That's good.
Jack Bauer, Stringer Bell, Tyrion Lannister, Michael Scott, and Arya Stark.
It's very good.
I like your team.
Likes Game of Thrones.
And the callers so far?
So far they have Kramer, Al Bundy, Urkel, Archie Bunker, and Mr. Spock.
Okay. Chris gets to add to that. Chris, you're on 94 WIP.
Hi, guys. Great subject. I saw it on Twitter yesterday. I tweeted you my favorite character, but it's not the person I'm going to take. But first, Mark, let me give you some advice.
Yes.
When you collect your $10 from all your friends,
yes,
be prepared to hand it back to them in 5 minutes.
Yep. I so agree.
This is such a farce. It's such a waste of time. Anybody that's even remotely going to spend their money on it needs to get a life, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But that's
I can't wait.
Here nor
there.
Good wisdom by you.
I can't wait to watch this thing.
Well, hopefully some more good wisdom. Matt Klentak, trade deadline coming up. Zero confidence this guy can do anything. He has – we always seem to get the wrong guy, you know, the wrong brother with the Maddox brothers, you know, as our first one. But I'm just not a fan. Don't think he's the right Ivy League guy we need running the Phillies. We need – if you listen to Kruk and Schmitty on Sundays, they dissect these guys and tell you what the Phillies need. I would love to them to listen to them and see if we can start getting some impact. And his puppet of a manager, time for him to go. Eat the contract, let Boa take over for the rest of the year, and let's just find out what we got.
Here's the thing, the manager part aside, I don't know what they have to trade that's going to get him anything. I mean, they're going to trade Pat Neshek. You're not going to, you know, you're hoping you get a guy who maybe shows up in the major leagues sometime for him, right? They're going to trade Daniel Nava. What do they have to trade that will bring them legitimate players in return?
Howie Kendrick's been injured.
Right.
Like, what are you going
to
get?
Yeah, it's package. It's package, and Joseph has to be part of it. Hernandez has to be part of it. We've seen they're capable. They're serviceable to the right team. They're bit players.
You know who could use Joseph?
They've got guys.
The Yankees could use Joseph. The Yankees could
use Hernandez.
And they could use Neshek. And maybe in return you get something going on there. Maybe. But yeah. I don't have a lot of optimism that they're going to do anything that's going to really change the face of the team. All right. It's your draft pick, man. What round are we in, Mark?
We are in the seventh round right now.
All right. There you go. What do you got?
I got the steal of the draft. You picked the wrong female to lead off with.
Ooh.
This woman absolutely impacted everything about television
after the debut
of Roseanne.
Wow. Oh, you went Roseanne.
That's a great pick.
Oh, your leader. Oh, interesting. Thank you. I thought he was going somewhere else.
Phenomenal pick.
That surprised me.
You know what I loved about that show? It was real. Like, the parents weren't some TV people like in other things.
It wasn't idealistic, that's for sure.
No, it was people that were down on their luck. Yeah. I love that show. Roseanne's a phenomenal pick, especially. That's a good pick. It's a great character and also fills the female void.
You got
a lot
one
of
going
teams.
There. All right,
yes,
who's up?
Now, I actually messed up because I wrote this in before I announced the pick, and I said it when I was reading off my team.
You have one job.
Yeah, I know, right? Actually, I don't. I have four jobs, mine and then you guys keeping track of your teams and the callers. But no, this is and with Mr. Game of Thrones over there doing a run on Game of Thrones characters, I better get this guy now. And that's a man who came back from the dead and will fight the White Walkers, and that's Jon Snow, Game of Thrones.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
It's a lot of Game of Thrones. Okay. That's fine.
I had to get Jon Snow, Frank Underwood, Frank Colombo. You're not beating him.
All right. Who's up?
That'd be you, Glenn Mack. Now, back-to-back picks in the snake.
All right. I jumped on this one. I'm going to take Vic Mackey from The Shield, the toughest, nastiest cop in the history of television. And I'm going to go back and dominate the women. I'm going, that sounded a little
odd. Yeah, okay, Glenn. That's whatever you do when it's not showtime is up to you. Well, that's fine. It's always good to get to know you more.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm going to go way, way back to the beginning of television.
All right.
I'm taking Lucy.
Oh, geez.
Is there a bigger character in the history of TV than Lucy?
In the history of TV?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Lucy.
Probably not.
I got Lucy.
Yeah.
I love Lucy.
Lucy. I've heard. Yes, phenomenal.
You're up, then we go back to the callers.
Oof. All right. Let's see here. It's tough after Jon Snow there. I'm going to go with a guy that no matter what happens, he can get you out of it. MacGyver.
You definitely got to keep going there. Okay.
MacGyver.
Okay.
Go ahead. Try. Try to back him into a corner. You can't. You can't do it.
He's a good trick player.
He's out of it.
Yeah.
Double coverage. Not a problem. Guess what? I'm already in the end zone.
He is the definition of a gadget player. You got that.
Steve Spurrier would have loved him.
Mike, you're on 94 WIP.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good show. Good listening to you guys.
Thank you.
I'm more of a basketball, so the Sixers. And, you know, there's not much to really see in the summer league except for the real good players that were drafted to see if they can take over the game, like Ball and Tatum and Fultz mm-hmm. are able to do. My concern is that the couple games that I watched, at the end of the game, the Sixers just cannot coach these kids to play disciplined basketball in the last minute. And they lost all their games, most of their games, in the last minute. And they're throwing the ball around. They don't know when to foul. And to me, that's coaching. Whether these kids ever played together or not, there's some things that a coach has to do. It's not just recruit good talent. They got to know how to game coach down the stretch. That's the most important thing to me. And it doesn't look like – I mean, these other teams, last night I watched Dallas. They did it. Or whoever. It wasn't Dallas. The game before that.
You're talking about Summer League stuff?
What's that?
Yeah, I don't judge.
Summer League.
Yeah, don't judge too much on that.
No, but I see teams where the coaches – I saw the Sixers last year. They had games won, and they come down to the end of the game, and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'll say what I said before. I have no idea if Brett Brown is going to be a good coach.
Right.
I like Brett Brown. I like the way he talks.
Too.
He's really smart.
Right.
I admire the, you know, lived through all of this. But we'll learn this year whether he can actually coach.
Yeah.
All right. You are up in the draft, my man. You have the history of TV on your side.
Yeah. I mean, Lucille Ball was a good one.
Thank you.
Had that in mind. But Dick Van Dyke is my a guy that could do a show when he was young, and he's still doing show. He's doing that Diagnosis Murder now.
Well, but you're going
good.
With Rob Petrie is who you're going with. Right? Because I'm taking Lucy Ricardo. We're going with character. The character would be Rob Petrie, which is a great character.
Yeah, Rob Petrie from Dick Van Dyke.
There you go.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah, okay.
I think that was a fine selection. A show clearly predates you, but it's still on all the time.
So Wayne's World is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
One and two. Wayne Campbell does a Dick Van Dyke reference in Wayne's World 2. That's how, it's a generational thing, but it gets extended because other generations, the later generations, respect it so much.
I understand. Okay.
Big tip of the cap.
Whose pick?
That would be back-to-backs with Steve.
I'm going to go with the duo of Jerry Seinfeld and Elaine Benes.
I'm not going to say anything because it's not my pick.
Mm.
I'm just going to say one thing.
We did this draft, yada, yada, yada. Those picks were terrible.
888-729-9494. Your pick's coming up on 94 WIP. I'm Glenn Mack. Now, Mark Farzetta is in for Ray Dinger. It is a Sunday afternoon. Mark, you know, one of the fun things in this town is Philadelphia has really become a destination where they make movies.
Yeah.
The one Untouchable earlier this year with... going to say Walter White, with Bryan Cranston, Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Was a big deal when they shot here. I'm a featured extra in that movie. We'll see. We'll see if I end up not on the cutting room floor. And over the last, 10, 15 years, there have been a lot. And there's one that's going on right now. And the woman who is the writer and executive producer, it's called Offstage Elements, is joining us now for a movie that's being shot. Even as we speak, Maria Jefferson joins us. Good morning, Maria. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, just terrific, and very excited for you, very excited for what's going on. Tell us a little bit about the movie, Offstage Elements.
Okay, I'd be happy to. So Offstage Elements is a feature film. It's about five middle-aged men in a hard rock, heavy metal band, who are all going through their own mid-age crisis. The lead singer becomes a reborn Christian after battling testicular cancer and reunites with his heavy metal band members, and so he faces opposing views with the band members and his fan base as well. And all the while, they're battling, an uphill battle for entering the music scene. So they're continuing those challenges as well.
But they're making it, their music is becoming popular even as they're getting older.
Yes, their music does make a breakthrough in Europe. And then it sort of has a trickle-down effect. But at the same time, they start to individually face personal crises in their family lives.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote this.
Yes.
And you're producer of it.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the director, the cast. Tell us some more about who's involved.
The director is Mr. Frank Lisi of DreamQuest Entertainment. And he has several different films under his belt as well, The Red Corvette, Sicilian Tale, and Veneration, which are short films. And I believe Veneration last starred Charles Dutton. Great actor, fantastic. So Frank is collaborating with me as the director and co-producer as well on this film, and we're very excited. He's right here. Would you like to say hi?
Sure.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. How are you, Frank?
Fantastic. Excited. How are you?
Terrific. So you guys are shooting today? You're shooting scenes today?
We're shooting scenes today. We shot all day yesterday, and we have a full day today. I'm expecting Mike Starr and Tony Darrow on set today. We're going to have a lot of laughs today.
All right, let me tell Mark Farzetta. Mike Starr and Tony Darrow, both guys, you see them, it's like, oh, I know that guy.
Okay.
Tony Darrow, you would know as a Sopranos fan as Larry Boy Barisi.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right?
Look, yes.
And Mike Starr is a guy who I recognized from Goodfellas, where he was Frenchie, Dumb and Dumber, which I know you like more than I like.
Oh, sure. But Tony Darrow, he was also in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Everybody was in Goodfellas. Anyway, where are you?
I don't mean to be out of order.
Where are you shooting today? Where what's going on today?
I believe the town is called Wincote, Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah.
You know, for me, it's out there because I'm a Northern New Jersey guy, big Yankee fan.
No.
Yeah, who would have spotted that in that voice, Mark?
Yeah, someone really paid me to do that.
Aaron Judge gonna hit a slump.
He just did. Anyway, well, I think it's great. And how long is the movie going to be shooting? Give us just a little bit more in the background.
Well, we are shooting mostly on the weekend, so because of that, it's a little bit. It takes a little longer to wrap it up, but we should be done by Thanksgiving, and then we go into post production. That could take a couple of months, but it will be ready to go into film festivals. I'm hoping by the spring.
It's very exciting.
Of 2018. Yeah,
very exciting. So. And on a closing note, Mark Farzetta, there is a role in the movie as the hard-bitten guy. Would you describe the role, Maria, because you wrote it. What's the role?
The role for which person? That would be detective.
I like her a lot. Maria, I'm a big fan of yours. Is Glenn coachable on set? Is he pretty coachable? Have you heard Reputation?
I've heard many good things about Glenn. Okay. Many, many, many good things. And he's playing the part of Detective Combs. And, you know, he's firm and serious, but at the same time, he is sincere and empathetic.
There you have it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Listen to that range.
Oh, I can do empathetic. Empathetic's my middle name. Yeah. It's a couple of weekends from now. I'm delighted for the opportunity to go, and I get to spend a day being on that movie.
That's nice.
So there you go.
That's
hopefully awesome. I don't end up on the cutting room floor. Maria, it is a pleasure, and Frank as well, and I look forward to it. And good luck with the project. I think it's always great when something like this happens in town.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to working with you very much. Sorry, Mike Starr kind of got hung up.
I understand. It's showbiz. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
All right.
You know, I'm trying to pursue a very small part-time acting thing on the side.
Yeah. How'd you get involved in this? Do you have an agent?
No.
Or are you just making, is Judy making phone calls?
No. I was in a Pennsylvania Lottery commercial where I
saw that.
Yeah, I mostly got cut out.
You were great.
They cut out my line.
Ah, what was your line?
Popcorn. I'm a vendor.
It's not a line.
Well, it's words.
It's a brief line.
Yeah. But you can see my hip and my hand in that commercial.
And you're great.
Yeah. And I was in the, well, I did some stage. I did like community theater stuff. And then I did the, Bryan Cranston, Kevin Hart thing. Again, no lines, but just kind of, I get to walk by them while they're there. It's one of those things, you know?
Do you practice your walk?
9 hours.
Was it a strut?
It was literally 9 hours.
Was it a sachet?
By the end of the day, it was dragon. By the end of the day, it was a slump.
You got bit by the acting bug, my friend.
A little bit.
A little bit.
So
a little bit.
So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Who's up? Who's in? Is it
their phenomenal question?
Who's up in the draft?
I believe it's the callers.
All right. Good.
Yes, it is the callers.
Go to Charles. Charles, thanks for hanging. You're on 94 WIP.
Hey, no problem. Good morning. How are you, Glenn? How are you, Mark?
How you doing, man?
Great. Good, man. Great to talk to you guys on this beautiful day. Hey, Mark, I got to tell you, man.
What's up?
As a guy that really loves boxing, or used to love boxing, mm-hmm. man, people like you are part of the reason why boxing has just become such a mess.
That is entirely untrue. Untrue. Boxing has been a joke for decades, and it has nothing to do with me.
Well, it has been, but it kind of all started with all of this, these carnival events.
No, I'll tell you what ruined boxing. People this is the God's honest truth, and it's terrible, but in America, it's died down because you've had champions from Russia. Like, you've had champions from overseas that we really can't get behind. I mean, the last overseas champion that you really could get behind was Lennox Lewis. And then you go into the Klitschko brothers, and people really started to lose interest. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Well, that's true. That's a major part of it. But I also feel like, this kind of thing contributes to that, though. And it's all about money. It's always been about money. But the more people that tune into this kind of stuff, it just perpetuates that.
See, but Charles, you're not wrong in that, but I'm going to say this. I'm looking at this I'm not looking at it as boxing, because Floyd Mayweather, I mean, how long it took for him and Pacquiao to fight was just a joke, an absolute joke. So with Floyd Mayweather, he's nothing short of an entertainer for me right now. He's not even a boxer anymore.
40 and all years this is old, good. By the way.
Yeah, exactly.
40, and he's been retired for 2 years.
Yeah. So all this is to me is a spectacle. All it is hopefully some semblance of a fight. It's a spectacle. I acknowledge that. I'm not watching this to take notes on good technical boxing. I'm watching it because I want to see somebody get beat up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much you'll even see that. I think that probably McGregor gets hit a couple times, goes down, and it's over. That's my hunch.
That's
Man's been hit hard before.
That's exactly what I think.
All right. Charles, who's your pick in the TV character draft?
Okay, let me see. I'm going to go not really recent. I guess the show has been on for several years now, maybe seventh season or whatever. I'm going to pick Mr. Frank Gallagher from... Shameless.
Good work.
Played by William H. Macy.
That's a great pick because it's such a unhero. Nicely done. It is the anti-hero. He plays a stumbling drunk, a conniving, dishonest, drunken, drug-addicted guy who will screw over his family for a fix, and yet you love him. That's a really good pick. You watch that show at all?
I don't watch it.
Very good show.
My fiance loves that show. She's seen, I think, every episode, and I've caught little snippets walking in and out of the room. It looks interesting. I haven't gotten into it yet, but it does look interesting.
That's one.
Anything he does is amazing.
He's terrific. Yeah. My wife and I started that kind of late and started from the beginning. I've only watched like the first three seasons or so. When there's nothing else going on, we'll go back to it. Very good show. I like that pick by him. All right, so that means that who's up?
That would be me.
All right.
And I'm going to take my lady. I'm going to take a woman that I've loved for a very long time, ever since I saw this show, but it debuted when I was just a wee lad. And I love this woman. Sophia Petrillo. Golden Girls, don't at me.
Oh.
The greatest written show in the history of television, Golden Girls.
I thought you were taking Sophia Petrillo. Vergara?
No. She can wait on the back burner. I'll get to her. But Sophia Petrillo from Golden Girls is one of the greatest television characters of all time.
Okay.
Once again, don't at me.
Okay. I got nothing.
But one of the greatest written shows ever, if not the greatest written show.
My grandmother loved that.
I'm sure your grandmother and I would have been great friends.
I would imagine so. She used to like that show. She would have a little drink. Bourbon and ginger.
Oh, okay. Right? I was going to guess amaretto on the rocks.
No, but... no. She had a little bourbon and ginger. Watch that show and fall asleep on the chair.
Oh, that sounds like heaven.
Really, it was really sweet.
I'm going to say, I love that character.
Yeah, she loved that show.
I'd hear words that my dad would use in some of the, like the Italian-American movies, whatever. Oh. But then I would hear them coming from this old woman on cold, and I would laugh, like Maloik and all this other stuff. Oh, yeah. I would laugh my
so butt which
off.
I mean, I'm familiar with the show. I know
she was the Ma.
Maude was in
she
B.
was Ma.
Was
she
that
was
a Estelle Getty?
Yes.
Okay.
Estelle Getty.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Ma.
All right. So who's up now?
That'd be you, Glenn Mack, now.
All right. And I got two?
Yes.
Oh, this is going to be nice work. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going with one of my all-time favorites. I'm going Fred Sanford.
That was on my list.
Okay.
Love that show.
And then I'm coming back. I'm coming back with a bit character, but an extremely memorable bit character. Now, Steve McFadden earlier went to The Wire. Who did you take in The Wire earlier, Steve? Because I think you went the wrong way.
Stringer Bell.
Stringer Bell is not the person that people remember from that show.
Mm.
You know the character that people remember from that show?
I believe so.
Omar Little.
Definitely.
Omar.
Oh, in the game, yo.
Omar's coming.
That's a great one.
There you go. All right, so back to you, and then we'll go to the caller.
All right. I would have to also go The Wire while the people are making a run on this, with two already off the board, so I got to go Jimmy McNulty.
Okay.
Got to go Jimmy McNulty.
He's the lead. I respect that.
Yeah, and the guy, he can get thrown in the middle of anything and come out on top.
One of the things about him, the actor who played, what's his name, Dominic, what's his name, the actor?
I don't know the name of the actor. Dominic West.
West, British.
Yeah, he was
whenever you have the British guys who play like Americans, they're really good at it.
Oh, they nail it. They absolutely nail it.
And then you hear him off the, he's like on a talk show, I did this when I was, it's like, well, all of a sudden it's Churchill.
He was in a movie, a very underrated movie called The Centurion. Which is a swords and sandals movie. I think Michael Fassbender is in it. And
what's his name?
Fassbender. Uh-huh. And he's in it, and he plays like the commander of the 9th Legion, the Lost Roman Legion.
Definitely brought back the accent.
He was awesome in that. And he's also in 300. He plays the crooked senator in 300.
Yes, he is. Yes. Yeah. Joe, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Glenn and Mark. How are you guys?
Doing great.
I got my TV character. But first, you know, you guys were talking earlier about is it okay? Do you think it's okay to pay to be on the waiting list for Sixers tickets? And look, I very rarely go to actual sporting events in this town. I think the last time I was even at a game was maybe like 2 years ago with the Flyers. I don't even understand, like, with the NFL, especially with the red zone, I don't even understand why you would even ever leave your house to go to a game. Like, what? Uh-huh. In what way is going to that game, going to a game,
because
be,
it's because you're
every...
part of the event. You're caught up in the crowd. It's a whole different thing.
What?
The view from home is much better. Football is much better to watch as a game on TV, but the event being in the crowd with the crowd is the fun.
Yeah,
not
so
for you.
Game tickets, it's very rare. It's not just something I try to go to maybe like one or two Flyers games every year because they're my favorite. They're my first team in Philly. But summer just needs to be terrible. And it's the only thing that we have to look, it's the only sport going right now. And your baseball team stinks. Summer just drags on. And Eagles season just needs to get here. And Sixers season just needs to get here. But to answer your question, no, I don't think you should have to pay to be on a waiting list. That being said, I don't go to games anyway, so take that for what it's worth.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you this. The NFL is aware of that problem. That's why if you look at the, $125 million the Eagles put into the link, one of the things they wanted to do there for the upgrade was make sure people had better views of the scoreboard so they could see their fantasy scores and other team scores and all that stuff, and that so other people could also have Wi-Fi in the building so they could check their fantasy score. People want to be home so they can watch Red Zone. The NFL is, they're competing with that.
I'm surprised every other sport doesn't have their version of the Red Zone channel. Well, MLB Network kind of does, but I'm surprised basketball and hockey doesn't have the every game going at once thing that the NFL does. Maybe because it's a once-a-week sport, maybe that's why.
Hockey would be a good one to do it. Because, I mean, basketball, what are you going to show? They score every 30 seconds.
Yeah, right.
You could show the big bass, but hockey, there's so few goals you could do it. All right, give us your TV character.
All right, I'm going with the show that's been on for 20 years. I put this show again. I would put this show up against any other show that's been mentioned. I'm going with Eric Cartman from South Park.
That's good. I took Homer Simpson earlier, yes. So animation is definitely open, and that's a pretty good character. That's not bad.
No, that's great. That's a phenomenal one. I don't know if you thought about this, Glenn, but do you know why baseball is the hardest sport to cover from a TV standpoint?
Because there's so little action.
No.
Oh.
I mean, that's a complaint for a viewer, but in terms of, like, if you were to put together a Red Zone channel for baseball, for instance, right?
Yeah.
One of the guy that directs Sunday Night Football is a guy named Drew Esikoff, and he's done a lot of baseball in his career as well. And he was on before the Super Bowl.
By the way, for those who don't know, you are involved in the coverage. You're still doing that, right?
I still work behind the scenes on a truck for Sunday Night Football. I've been doing that for 10 seasons now. This will be my 11th. And Drew Esikoff has also done baseball. And he said on the air one time, he called in before a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and he was on with Angelo, and he asked, what's the hardest sport to cover? And he said, baseball. Do you know why a director would find baseball to be the hardest to cover?
Mm-mm.
Because the points, or in this case runs, are scored away from where the ball is.
Oh, so I got it. So you got to switch the camera at the right time.
Exactly. Yeah. So if there's a guy running home, did the outfielder bobble the ball?
Right.
You know, he's like, it's the points in this case, the runs, are scored in a different spot than where the ball is.
It's interesting.
And I never thought about
that. You have to have your eyes in different places.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. All right. Coming up, we'll review who has been taken, and we'll keep the draft going. By the way, the listeners got to start taking some women. We had a three-woman rule.
Come on.
The listeners taken a single woman yet?
They have not.
Or a married woman yet?
Oh, they have Roseanne.
They have Roseanne.
Thank you, Stephen. Yes.
888-729-9494. Call in, make your pick, talk sports with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.